I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, hey.
What are you doing?
I'm Paddy Power.
I get that, but why are you wearing nothing but a pair of green underpants with your own name on the waistband?
That's what I do. It gets people's attention.
This is a radio ad. I'm the only one who can see you.
Oh, well, this is awkward.
You could at least have waxed.
Sign up to Paddy Power today at paddypower.com/ramble and get a free 20 quid bet once you bet a tenner. And I might even keep my clothes on. But look how flattering it is when I jump up and down. Ole, 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 ole.
Please stop.
Question doesn't matter. The answer's always aye. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus and Pete's here.
I'm enjoying your intros this season, Marcus. Well done.
And last season. Luke.
I'm not enjoying them as much.
No.
You are. You all influenced right. That one and
I
you know
am.
You did.
I am.
And Jim.
Hello. I'm fine with them.
Good. That's about that. Now, Joey Barton has started studying for a philosophy degree. This won't come as a surprise to anybody who knows the man. I suppose that's prompted me to ask you, who from the world of football do you think would be a good uni lecturer, Pete?
I think anybody who has been in the dock, because a lectern is very much like being in the dock for me. Mm. So any of them, Duncan Ferguson, Jan Morby.
What would they teach, or have you not thought about that?
Crime.
Teach crime with Martin right. O'Neill studying away.
Sort of criminology, but from the other side.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, Nizar Trabelsky could probably tell you how to make gun bombs and stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean that, which is what a lot of people sign up for uni for,
yeah.
Of course.
Yeah,
that's what the university is like these days. If you read it down your mail, so it does fit.
Yeah, even the University of Life is going that way, mate.
Yeah. Luke.
Pete, that's such a short answer, so I wasn't ready, but I'll have to just sort of get involved.
Just rise to the challenge.
A man who may well, by the time this show is released, be out of a job, Big Martin Yole. It'd be like supply teacher day, wouldn't it? Berbatov at the back having a smoke, chewing gum, paper planes flying everywhere, elastic bands, all sorts going on. Nothing would get done.
Is that right?
So I think Martin Yole will be very good.
It'll be very enjoyable.
Martin Yole will be the sort of lecturer you'd want when you're going in on a hangover early in the morning, so you can just sit at the back. Possibly put the Football Ramble on, which is apparently what all students do these days, and give it a listen while Martin Yole's boring on about, I don't know, counterculture or something like that.
Yeah. Jim?
I think I'd go I'd stay with philosophy, and I'd have Eric Cantona teaching Joey Barton.
Like that.
Just he could just put silly sound bites in that don't really actually mean anything. And Barton could
really
stroke his chin and go, yeah, that's really deep, man. I'm going to tweet highlights of this lecture.
Barton would think that was really deep the same way like a kid is at Glastonbury for the first time and smoked his first joint. Oh, so deep.
Yeah.
It's really, really cool.
Barton might tweet the words postmodernism and in his mind go, oh, yeah, I'm just talking about postmodernism. Not actually adding anything, but
to the note.
He'll definitely do that. There's no suppose so about it.
He might even improve his French accent as well.
If it was Cantona lecturing him, of course.
On an aside from that, I'd quite like to see Adel Terapt have a go at being a PE teacher. I'd like to see how his attitude would sort of
would
translate into that.
Here's some cones.
Yeah, just.
I think
give me the ball.
Yeah.
He would be training.
That's not really a lecturer, but I know what you mean.
He'd be doing everything, wouldn't he? He would be like, well, okay, well, now we're going to climb the rope in gym. All right, fine.
I'm going to go outside and take some free kicks. See in an hour.
Yeah. Would he start chanting at them, Tarat's too good for you?
Yeah, he probably would, yeah.
Yeah. All the kids would be really fat, but they could do a step over. Oh,
couldn't adjust. Jack Warner teaching economics.
Hey. He's lazy. What is the work you
and that's
you
don't won even me them points. No. I'll have them. Yeah. Thanks very much.
Well, that, to be fair, that's the best thing about that answer, isn't it? Because it's completely in character of the man. Yeah. See what you've done, Marcus.
Jim,
see what you've done.
There's your philosophy.
Marcus, you've
right
ciphered
there.
Those points the same way Jack Warner ciphered all that cash.
What cash? What point?
I would spit on you.
Oh, dear. Right. Yes, I do have the points. Up yours, everybody. It's time for Premier League talking.
I thought Martin Yell was always worth the points the same way.
Martin Yell can't get any points. Don't think he's going to bring them here.
The same way sort of doing an historical epic in the always gets you an Oscar. I thought like saying Martin Yell on this question always gets you the points. Yeah. I feel cheated.
Right, it's more vigorous than that. Manchester United 1, West Brom 2.
It's happening again.
Dog.
Bloody hell. I tell you
what. Fortress Old Trafford.
It's more of a shed, isn't it now?
Lulled Trafford.
Jesus.
That's the kind of show it's going to be.
Yeah, it really is.
It's one of those games which usually happens once every 3 or 4 years. You would get some weird anomaly. So I don't know, the planets would realign or something.
Fulham beating United 2-1 at Old Trafford once. Louis Saha scoring.
Right, and there was when Middlesbrough beaten 3-2, I think it was Dean Gordon scored a volley or something like that.
When Blackburn went there and... Oh, no, they lost 7-0, didn't they? So that's not a point you're trying to make.
Not really, but it's valid in some other life. But every sort of 3 or 4 years, whatever it is, you get a game at Old Trafford where it was like all free today, and you couldn't you couldn't understand why, but it would just kind of happen.
It'd be a coupon buster, wouldn't it?
Exactly, yeah. And that was one of those games. West Brom outplayed them for bits. They had a lot of chances. United looks at sixes and sevens, but the trouble is for Manchester United, the next one of those games, I think, might be a little bit sooner than 3 years' time.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah.
Absolutely. So as we said before, it's like the spell is broken, isn't it? I almost miss Alex Ferguson because I don't quite understand.
Do you like? It's one of those things where you like everything in its place. Mm. I mean, Paris have thought of England winning a penalty shootout, for example.
It's a bit like your dad always being really mean to you and having a go at you all the time and you not liking him, and now your dad's not coming home anymore.
Is it?
Yeah, because you're like, well, what? I don't know what to make of this now. It's better the devil you know, I think.
Okay.
And the Premier League in general is cheaper. For Harris Ferguson not being in it.
12th.
Yeah.
12th after half those games or something.
There are a lot of people saying, like, could West Brom have done it again? Could it already be Moyes getting the sack? It's obviously ridiculous.
But the thing is, if you take...
that is a rule. That's an actual Premier League rule.
Exactly, yeah. Yes, West Brom must be gutted about that because they are the standard of team you should beat, regardless of who you are.
Oh, that's disrespectful.
Tell the chairman who are sacking the manager.
Yeah, it's not me, mate.
But
that's like the fact
right, Redknapp.
The fans booed them off the field. Manchester United! Oh,
booed off at Old Trafford.
I don't think there's a violin small enough. We're going to antimatter violins now. Yeah. Oh, they're really big. I'm not really sure. Either way, it's gone past infinity, and now it's a massive fucking violin.
But the physics with Pete Donaldson.
There's your lecturer.
It's a cello.
Pete Donaldson's version of physics.
I mean, if you take the sort of City Villa game, a lot of people have been saying on another day City would have won that easy peasy, and probably should have. But on another day, Manchester United West Brom would have scored 3 or 4.
Yeah, if you saw the stats after the game, West Brom, as you said, play well in large patches. I mean, I think Man United had a few more shots, but. In general, West Brom had their own fair share of shots. I think they have more corners.
Malfitano is having a great time.
He's having a lovely time.
I wish Newcastle had that brother. We've got the other brother.
Oh, you have, haven't you? Yeah.
What is it with Newcastle and brothers? Stop it.
Malfitano, what a goal that was.
Yeah,
was
that
great? I think De Gea helped him there because he spread out his arms really, really quickly and made him make a decision. And
I've seen Schmeichel do this, and Malfitano just gone. Yeah.
The sort of form he did is lift. It was lift.
But that type of finish really was taking the piss.
Yeah,
in an enormous way.
I just think it's the way De Gea's playing at the moment. He's not on form.
Certainly dinkable.
Dinkable. Is it David Steele, ex-Man United?
Eric Steele.
Yeah. Sort of
David Steele was someone else completely.
That De Gea would eat loads of tackles during the day and go for sleeps 3 or 4 times a day. I was thinking, that sounds like a wicked lifestyle.
I was going to say that... we warned about this before, how Man United fans would have to start being used to supporting a normal club again. And people of our age...
Never experienced that.
No, we're used to Man United being like the Death Star, aren't we?
Yeah.
Everything is massive, it's all-powering, all-consuming. But the thing is, now we're seeing that sort of come to pass because we've got this Alex Ferguson autobiography coming out, which is apparently going to ruffle a few feathers, which seems like weird timing. This
doesn't
Eric
care anymore, does he?
Doesn't
no,
matter.
Doesn't seem to. Eric Steele's said this thing about De Gea, which is sort of going to unsettle people to a certain extent. And David Moyes hasn't been used to everything he does being under so much scrutiny all the time. Mm-hmm. And if you add that to the fact that their squad's probably not as good as it was playing last season because of Ferguson.
Yeah, well, he's even hinted at that himself, isn't he, saying that they're very, very unlikely to win the Champions League or do well in it.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
It shows you how important Ferguson was because it's the same squad of players. And he can just... Okay, a year on, there's a few people like Ferdinand. Obviously, a year makes a bit of a difference at his age. But it's not squeezing an extra 5, 10%. It's an extra 15, 20% Ferguson. Yeah.
But do you not think also that Man United are now going to suffer from people just not being scared of them anymore?
Yeah, absolutely. It certainly feels like that now, doesn't it? But it's been a while since they scored a goal from open play as well, which is interesting. They're so un-Man United. We're so used to the sort of the free-flowing attacking football that you don't even mention it as Man United having a style because it goes so much without saying. Mm. And it's strange.
They look a bit laboured. The attacking verve they were known for and their sort of swashbuckling intent isn't really there anymore. And the players who would sort of aid that, who are the wide players and the quick attacking players, aren't really in form or aren't really good enough. And so it's really, really making them struggle for sure.
And also, if you put in a bad performance, you're not going to get blamed for it. It's going to be David Moyes at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Before they had a manager who was beyond reproach, who'd been beyond reproach such a long time. You know, nobody's going to blame Alex Ferguson for the failings of Patrice Evra or something like that. But now they've got David Moyes at the helm.
In fact, it's even harder given that with pretty much the same squad, he won the Premier League. Yeah. So, that just piles even more pressure on Moyes. Mm. I mean, it could be that Moyes becomes the fall guy between Ferguson and the next sort of long-reigning manager, who knows?
But West Brom were fantastic, though, were they not? And Berahido's having a great old time.
As Jonathan Pearce said, the new kid on the Brom block or something. What is wrong with you, Jonathan?
Yeah, Berahino's quite an interesting story, hasn't he?
Come from
Burundi originally, asylum in the UK, and has come through at West Brom and been out on loan a couple of times.
But he's played for England, I think.
Every level.
Apart from senior.
Yeah, yes, yeah. And he looks a good player. I mean, and Steve Clarke did say, didn't he, after the game, look, I want people to actually say a little bit about how good we were, not just how bad Man United were.
And to be fair to West Brom, they started in quite a sloppy way, but now they've really, really turned that around.
They look to hit their stride now, don't they?
Yeah. Mm. Do you see there were newspaper reports about how Berahino's only earning £850 a week?
Yeah.
Poor sod.
Mm. Yeah, but still, though, for a player who scored the winner at Old Trafford, that is very, very low.
Indeed, but he's very, very young, isn't he? I think it's a bit of a surprise that he's kind of done so well so quickly.
Yeah, I think that's the reality of the situation, isn't it? That
I imagine agents will be circling.
Yes. Like vultures.
Like agents.
Yeah, vultures are a bit pissed off at that. but just incredible scenes at Old Trafford. And do we want it to continue? I don't know. As you said, it's strange, isn't it?
There's a certain amount of sort of morbid fascination with it,
I mean, there's a lot of doom and gloom around
it. It's just something different, isn't it?
It is. It is nice in a way without too much schadenfreude being involved.
I think if you speak of the genesis of this podcast, the seven seasons, whatever it's been, the amount we've been able to hammer Man United has been very,
very little.
So we should really be making up for lost time.
And also,
so fuck them.
And also, a lot of the fans, when I was, 11, 12, they were known as glory hunters.
Yeah.
They've never literally been glory hunters because they've always had glory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've got glory possessors.
So are they going to disappear?
So now they're actually going to be glory hunters. They're looking for glory.
They were glory custodians.
Yes.
Yeah.
But Pete, are you
lost the glory.
Do you think they're going to disappear in their droves now, the fans?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. They'll have like 15,000 at Old Trafford.
I've got 6 months left on my MUTV subscription. Gosh.
Yeah.
Piss.
Does anyone want to buy it on eBay? I think also, mate. What needs to happen now is because the Man United away fans are very obviously very good, but as you just touched on earlier, if they lose the crowd at Old Trafford, God, that could be a real big issue. Because even now, Arsenal seem to be playing a bit better away from home than they are at the Emirates, and that's been because a certain section of the fans have been getting on the backs of the team and not been doing well. If that happens at United, 75,000 every week and not pulling behind this, I'm not suggesting they will do that, but it's certainly possible.
They've started to do it, Luke. It's already happening.
I think it will have to take a lot to lose that crowd. But
it'll be a theatre of screams.
Nicely put.
Yes.
Would top four be good enough for United this season?
Well, this is the talk that's already starting to happen, isn't it? It's like there's fear that they won't finish in the top four and they'll struggle to get a Champions League place and they'll end up in the Europa League.
Well, financially, that'll be a disaster for them.
It's not that bad. Like that,
financially, it will be.
Oh, yeah, no, but I mean, at this stage, it's so early. Can we really be predicting that?
Did you hear the terror in his voice? Jim, financially. Yeah. Think about it.
Just thinking about
it. You're right. Yeah. You're absolutely right.
It is very early to say that you're right. Your point is valid. I mean, we're not even a third way through the season yet. So
let's speculate about it and how funny it would be if they did finish outside the top four.
Jim, they're currently 12th. Is that good enough for Manchester United?
No. I'm not a mathematician, but I understand it. 12th will not get them in the top four if it stays like this.
But it's still mathematically possible that they can.
Yes.
Just about.
I think. Because I'm not a mathematician.
Just about. The other club in Manchester lost much to the relief, probably, of David Moyes, because it perhaps took the edge off that result ever so slightly, maybe. But Aston Villa, 3-2 winners. City should have won, but they didn't. And Vyman with a lovely cheeky winner.
Yeah. That long punt for Villa's winner was dreadful by City.
Yeah, it was. And also, it makes a mockery of Paul Lambert saying that they're not a long ball team.
Yeah.
Recently. I love the way Vyman, he could see it was going in. A lot of people would carry on going, just make sure, celebrating.
Yeah. I'll leave that one for the defender to think he can still get it.
Yeah, it's a great result for Villa, though, wasn't it?
It really was. Yeah.
You think they've beaten Arsenal away and Man City at home now? It's a pretty decent start to the season for them.
The season in general has been great. I mean, there's already no one unbeaten, which is brilliant. It looks very open.
Yeah. It's no Everton haven't lost yet. As they're recording. They're playing tonight, but they haven't lost.
Have they conceded a goal at home as well?
Who, Everton?
Don't know.
I imagine Everton will lose over the course of the season.
I agree with you. but not to Man United.
Remains to be seen. Some things you shouldn't speculate on, Jim.
Yeah.
But City, I mean, that's two games they've lost against a newly promoted side and Villa, who have dropped a few points here and there already this season. But yet you don't worry about them. Like one would worry about Manchester United.
It would be absolutely crazy if in the space of one season, almost the whole natural order of things changes. So I know it's very early to say, but it's worth talking about. If you had a top three, say Arsenal, Liverpool and Tottenham.
It would be remarkable.
I mean, that would be crazy, wouldn't it? I think in reality, Chelsea and Man City will still be up there.
Yeah.
But you could have two new infiltrators of the top four in the shape of Liverpool and Spurs. That'd be really interesting.
On what we've seen so far, though, it does seem that... Chelsea and City are way more likely than United to do that.
And even Spurs, I think.
Oh, absolutely. I think Spurs will be up there. I mean, Spurs were... Spurs
even
are...
Crystal Palace.
Spurs are second first now, aren't they? But they were joint top a little while ago, as they kept saying.
Well, Liverpool are breaking up that North London duopoly.
Yeah, they are.
Quite nicely. But speaking of which, Spurs drew 1-1 at home with Chelsea. Sigurdsson's having a lovely old time of late. But Mata came on and changed the game, and Big J Tizzle got the equaliser.
Yeah, that was nice for everyone to see. That's a goal for all of football, that.
Is it a bit annoying to see...
Living rooms up and down the country. Cheered that.
Was it a bit annoying to see Mata come on and just show everybody, especially Mourinho, what the player he is, and put a little bit of extra effort in, and then send a beautiful ball into the box, and Big JT's head is just in the back of the
net? On the Terry thing, Pete, have Newcastle signed Terry's more racist brother?
What do you mean?
Well, because you said they signed the rubbish.
Yeah, Paul Terry.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they got Paul Terry.
He's got the mum. Which one I was getting troubles at, the mum or the dad?
All of them.
They're both fired, aren't they?
Yeah.
Does Paul Ross present Newcastle TV?
What a lovely family.
Oh, excellent. But yeah, Mata was really... I thought Mata was had a bit of a sort of rubbish time of it against Swindon midweek, so it was good to see him get a chance. He has had his confidence ripped away from him to a certain extent, though.
Yeah, but quite publicly and deliberately.
I know. Like, bad,
it's
isn't it?
Really weird.
This afternoon, Jose Mourinho walked out of a press conference, the Champions League press conference.
Because he was asked about it.
He was asked about Juan Mata and using players that... or not using players that cost a lot of money, etc.
I don't know. I think whoever's controlling the Mourinho robot on Football Manager just clicked the wrong button there. That's probably why that happened.
It is surprising, isn't it? If Mourinho leaves him out of the squad, which he did, it's enough of a statement. And if journalists keep badgering, if we can just say, look, it was a tactical thing, blah, 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 just shut up and you can avoid those kind of questions. Mm. Ferguson's done it before and whatnot. But it is strange to make it pretty public to one of their best players.
And also, it's the sort of thing that didn't really cover him in success at Real. to a certain extent. You know, yeah, well,
I mean, you couldn't legitimately say that his time at Real was an unmitigated success.
Well, look at Casillas. Was his reign any better for doing that to Casillas? Probably not.
But he's still
Casillas is still not in the team.
but
I know what you're saying.
He was very publicly sort of going, nah.
Oh, of course, yeah. What he's done is he's done. It's quite as transparent what he does. He tries to sort of stamp his authority down on the dressing room, and he'll do that by out big dicking a big personality or a big player. Mm. Casillas was obviously a very dominant force in the dressing room, and Matt is obviously, you know, was their best player last season, so that's why he's done it this season. He wants to do it his own way, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I think it's a very sort of destructive way of doing things, and it can blow up in your face if you're not careful.
Well, you know, we've talked about Jose Mourinho and likened him to early Brian Clough and Bella Gutman, of course. And if you don't know Bella Gutman, do get on the website and listen to his profile on the Dean Medals Hall of Fame. They're still there. But it's that kind of, you go to a club for 2 or 3 years or whatever, you ruffle all the feathers possible, win a bit of stuff, and then you're off before everyone goes, hang on a minute, this guy's a bit of a knob.
Yeah.
But Mourinho, the only club really where he could have longevity and do something like Ferguson was doing, because there's all that talk that Mourinho was on the phone saying, I want the United job, come on, me. Mm. And obviously it'd been sorted out ages ago with David Moyes and whatnot, and I don't think they would have probably gone for Mourinho. The only chance he has of this, realistically, is at Chelsea, where he's absolutely loved and he has previous success. So if he starts that whole funny business again, then his chance of, you know, maybe legacy or whatever, is going to diminish. Yeah. And he's not one for bringing youth players in as well.
Mm. I think the impatience of Roman Abramovich knows no bounds as well. Just because he's won stuff at Chelsea before, I don't think that will help him more than any other manager. I really don't.
No,
they fell out before for obviously good reason.
And these journalists are the same journalists who baked him a cake when he rejoined the Premier League, so, you know.
Yeah.
He prefers an omelette.
So I think they'll all be...
Prefers a flan.
Between themselves, going, stop upsetting... Jose.
I thought the Torres thing was interesting during the Spurs game because
he
seems to be on a real mission to get himself sent off. Mm. And whilst his second yellow card was quite harsh, he shouldn't be on the pitch anyway. And to me, his head just seems all over the place. I mean, he forced his way back into the team by playing well midweek. And he manages to force himself ahead of Eto.
Well, Eto...
He managed to force his fingers into a man's eye socket.
Yeah, he did. But now he's going to be suspended. And so he's going to be out of the team again.
Well, maybe it's just all the Spanish players are, you know, trying to get themselves sent off in protest at Juan Mata's treatment.
When he got sent off, did he have like a free Mata t-shirt on?
I don't know.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
I can only speculate and say yes.
And we'll never know. But I think Mourinho probably has fired Torres up to try and get him back to his best or something like that. So I wouldn't be surprised there. And Spurs... doing very well. We've talked a lot about Chelsea there.
Yeah. Really robust Tottenham at the moment.
Yeah, and they're playing fantastic stuff. And also, just to say about John Terry, to give him a bit of credit, I think he's the highest goal-scoring defender in the Premier League.
Incorrect. In David Unsworth, I think.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think he's Unsworth a few behind
penalties, though, didn't he?
Yeah, Unsworth
maybe that's
pens.
Been factored in.
Oh, is that? Yeah. Oh, okay, on the little thing on BT Sport. Maybe there was something. Maybe an open play or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
He scored a lot of goals for a defender.
He's got 33 Premier League goals, which is good for a defender.
That's amazing.
It's very good.
Still not watch BT Sport.
Not me either, actually.
No. It was allegedly a stream. Swansea 1, Arsenal 2. Arsenal, top of the league.
Yeah, it's lovely. All our Germans are scoring, except Ozil.
Gnabry,
It's great, yeah. Lovely. Gnabry played so well. He played 120 minutes in midweek in the Capital One Cup. So he looked exhausted at the end of it, as we said in that show.
Is he the player... could he become the player that... we all hope Walcott and Oxlade-Chamberlain might become.
Oh, who knows? But he's certainly of that mould, isn't he? He's very direct, but he's more like Oxlade-Chamberlain than Walcott in that he's very powerful, quite a stocky young player. And you know, it's his third game in a week. He's very, very young. It's like apparently he's streets ahead in the youth team, as we discussed before.
Oh, it looks like it.
Like absolutely, just he knows he's sort of like the best player in the youth team. Apparently, it's this stuff I've read. Arseblog have a lot of very in-depth stuff on Arsenal's youth setup, and they've written about that before. And it looks as if he's kind of adapting to the bigger stage and getting his head around it a bit, because he was a lot more direct in this game, and he took his goal really well, played very well, and Ramsey as well, just unreal. The second goal was just reminiscent of Arsenal's classic teams, just some of the best football we've seen from them. It's brilliant to see them linking up like that at the moment. You get the impression as well there's still more to come from Arsenal, because we're seeing flashes of this kind of stuff, but the first half against Swansea in particular was just nothing, really. Very, very sort of cagey, cancelled each other out a little bit.
I thought it took them a while to sort of work them out a bit, and then when they did, they showed their quality. But I was going to ask you, actually, as an Arsenal fan, if you think that Arteta will be brought back in ahead of Flamini. I don't think he will.
I think they'll be rotated, to be honest, because Arteta's 31. So to get the best out of him consistently, you're going to need to rotate him.
Flamini's done so well, though, hasn't he?
Yeah.
And he's more robust than Arteta, isn't he?
Absolutely. I mean, it was a huge deal when Flamini left. We've lost so many important players since that that's been forgotten a little bit. He and Fabregas formed such a sort of, you know, good partnership in the middle. And it's such a great sort of coup to have him back, really.
Yeah, because as a signing, he sort of disappeared under the radar.
Absolutely.
Came in on a free.
Well, he only came in on a free because he was just hanging about the place anyway, training. it's great. Really happy to have him back.
A little word on Swansea. I love David Scholl. A thigh.
Don't see any of them.
But it was the ball in from Boney, was it?
Mm. Yeah.
Which was flicked beautifully over the defence.
Do you think Boney...
Flick and a thigh.
There you go. You don't see many of them.
No.
Do you think Boney and Michu don't get on that well? Because I saw...
Boney and M.
Yeah, Boney M. I've seen when I saw them play together a while back, every time Boney sort of did something... Is it Boney or Bonney?
I think it's Boney.
I thought it was Boney.
Let's say Boney, so the Boney M thing works.
Boney lies over the...
Thanks, mate. Every time Boney does something, Michu sort of like was like shaking his head and sort of getting really frustrated. So I wondered whether there was a bit of an animosity between them.
Very public.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe there is, because Boney's obviously the man right up top, and Michu last season had a great time, and perhaps maybe some of the runs he goes to make, Boney's in those positions already or whatever.
Does any of you guys know that he actually only cost £2 million, Michu?
Yeah, yeah.
It's not been mentioned much in the press.
Is it... Real Oviedo, some link there.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Flipping Fulham. They're gonna get relegated, I'll tell you.
Playing like this way.
Martin Yell's gonna be off if he's not careful.
Really, Martin Yell described the wonder goal as Osham and awful.
Is that right? yeah, Cardiff went one up and Brian Ruiz with a lovely one.
Yeah, it was Bergkamp-esque, wasn't it? Everything about it, his body shape and everything, just brilliant. Beautiful.
Look at the talent
goal
in that Fulham side. They can't put it
just
all
coasting
together
through. Martin Yell's such a nice, positive guy. He's probably watching the Football League show thinking, oh, the Championship looks like a Nash League.
Martin Yell managing...
Could have some fun down there.
Managing Fulham with their supporters. I mean, can't get
too
any...
Too nice.
Yeah.
But now I think the Fulham supporters are starting to turn on him a bit now. I've read a few bits and pieces.
In a really polite way.
Yeah. And I think, you know, when you're in a situation that they are, where you can't get any points away from home, and even when you're at home, you need to score sort of two or three to even get a point or a win. It's not a great formula. They're going to be, if Martin Yol goes, the manager who comes in is going to have a hell of a job trying to balance that team because they're so top heavy. They've got no sort of coherence or cohesiveness to their side. Admittedly, the goalkeeper's injured, but Stockdale's not a bad keeper.
Stockdale's a decent keeper.
Yeah,
he couldn't stop much as one, could he?
Well, no one would have stopped that. That was a beauty,
beautiful.
Yeah.
What annoyed
have much chance of stopping that?
Like it. What I didn't like about that was Much's celebration. He did one of those celebrations where he scored and then he sort of runs and starts doing that signal to just calm down. Yeah. And the players go over to celebrate and he's like, no, just back off a bit. And I'm like, mate, that'll be the best moment of your career.
Yeah, yeah.
You should be diving into the crowd. Yeah. Or maybe it won't be.
He's trying to get them to keep their heads because it's late on in the game. They don't want to concede a sloppy equaliser. You know. Yeah. Be fair to them, man.
Yeah. No, I bloody won't be. what else we got? Liverpool 1-3-1. Suarez is back in a Prem. Got a brace.
With a double bang.
Got a brace.
Suarez and Sturridge look great together, don't they?
They do. I don't think Sunderland were too bad.
It's a new SAS.
It is. It really is. Sturridge and Suarez, I mean, you're going to go somewhere to get a better partnership than them if they can both stay fit. But I didn't think Sunderland were too bad. I thought Liverpool struggled a little bit here and there, and it was only because the quality of their strikers that they actually came out of
that. The last goal was Jordan Henderson, I think it was, pulling the defender away so that Suarez had a little bit of room.
Yeah,
but you know, obviously no one will remember that because obviously it was Luis Suarez doing the scoring and he took his shirt off and revealed a T-shirt saying something.
What did it say, Pete?
I thought it said welcome back Luis Suarez, but it wasn't, it was about his kid.
Did it say my teeth were offside? Yes, they were.
Daniel Sturridge, got to say, he's got a hell of a left arm on him, isn't he?
Yeah.
It was nice for him.
Cracking finisher with that.
For him and manager to admit that it was a handball.
Yeah.
And they were both like, oh, yeah, sorry about that, but yeah.
Yeah, but do you think they would have admitted that during the game if the referee said, was it a handball or not?
But that doesn't dictate the rules of the way
that would be an amazing rule, wouldn't it? Anything contentious, the referee has to ask the player. Well, if they're dishonest, they get punished. Well, That'd be brilliant.
Yeah, but they talked about that, didn't they? Was it Germany about diving? Yeah, we talked about that. If the referee says to the player, did you dive? And if the player says no, your penalty's given. But if he says yes, I did dive, then there's no punishment, no yellow card, nothing's given. Admire your honesty. But if it's deemed later that he dived, then there's big punishment later.
Didn't it also happen to handball closer for Lazio? Did the referee ask him if he handballed it?
He said yes.
And he
Robbie Fowler?
Robbie Fowler. Well,
he told the referee that time at Highbury.
I was going to say that there was periods of that game which I watched between Liverpool, Sunderland and Liverpool where Liverpool 2-1 up and Sunderland were really turning the screw. They were pretty close to equalising. And they look a different side without De Canio there now. I'm not sure if we touched on it on the Capital.
They don't tend to like shiver as much, do they?
No, they're always looking over their shoulder all the time.
That's the sign of a bad manager when you leave, and it's an instant impact.
Yeah. Not a new manager coming in giving you a lift.
That's
an old one being gone.
Yeah.
Never put Seb Larsson on the line though. Awful.
The players just must be thinking, this is great. I'm sleeping at night. I'm eating properly. My hair's not falling out.
I'm not getting thrown in text messages at 2 a.m.
No one's listing my flaws on a constant basis.
That's right, telling the media
in the press
about them. Right, well, that rounds up the Premier League.
I was just going to say, because you're not putting the running order, and I think they deserve a mention.
Go on.
Hull City are going great guns.
Oh, they are.
Seventh. Controversial penalty to knock a goal past West Ham and win. But I mean, Huddleston was excellent again.
Well, I tell you what, if Moyes does go, then Steve Bruce.
He's not doing himself any harm.
Stevie Bruce.
If he dances all the way to Old Trafford.
Hey, come on. Pulis is out of the job.
Yeah. I won't say the obvious one.
I thought Norwich were very good in the first 10 as well. It was an important win for Chris Hughton as well.
Oh, he's under so much pressure.
He's in a lot of trouble. Uh-huh.
Well, they're all in the running for the Manchester United job. In the Championship, Nottingham Forest beat Derby County 1-0. Nigel Clough has been sacked, and Steve McLaren is expected to be announced as club successor.
He has been announced. Oh, God.
Working his way up. I mean, and there's another name that I might throw in the Manchester United ring.
Steve McLaren now goes into Brian Clough's shoes and managing both those teams.
Anybody see how bad he was at Forest? It's not even a national call. Just ring him.
It's almost like there's been like a bet between the two clubs that no one else knows about, where whoever won that game got to sack the manager of the other team and then choose who they could install.
He was good at 20. That's all I'll say.
Not the second time around he was.
20 years old.
He was his record at Forest, he had, I think he was in charge for like 13 league games.
That's the same as De Canio, pretty much, isn't it?
But why have Nigel Clough at your club for such a long time and then got like, you know, three or four games of the season gone, let's leave it?
It's an odd one.
They've got 11 points. You know, it's not a massive disaster. Yeah. And I understand the idea of being upwardly mobile, but it's just putting Steve McLaren in. I mean, they can't defend dead balls. That's their problem, Derby County, this season. Is it going to get any better under bloody Steve McLaren? Is he Dr. Organised?
Pete, what is going to get better under Steve McLaren, do you think?
Arlies?
Yeah.
Rain prevention?
But the thing is, McLaren, as we've said before, you look at his CV, he's a fantastic coach.
Yeah.
But is he managerial?
So maybe they could have drafted him in to help out Nigel Clough, perhaps, instead.
Well, I mean, obviously at QPR, there's something going well there.
I watched the Forest Derby game. It was a really good game, pretty intense. Derby had a player sent off, obviously, for two bookings. But I was just going to say, if you've not had a chance to see Forest much this season, the amount of quality they've got in their team, they've got to be making an impression on that division this year. The forward players I've got them here. For the Championship, they've got Darius Henderson, Jamie Mackey, Ishmael Miller, Marcus Tugoi, Dexter Blackstock, Matt Derbyshire and Simon Cox, all really good at that level.
Yeah. And they only managed to score one goal.
Indeed.
Despite playing seven strikers. What about the young lad Hughes, is it, for Derby?
Yeah, he had a good game. Will Hughes is a good player. He's got a lot of potential.
Only 18.
I know.
Strongly linked with Liverpool, isn't he?
Yeah, I think that I'm not sure what his contract situation is, but he's honestly really highly rated. It seems to be on everyone's radar. He played well last season as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Elsewhere in the Championship, as you mentioned, QPR, they're flying high.
They haven't lost a game yet, have they?
Top of the league.
It was a great passage of play where they notched like 33 passes, and they were really quite nice, intricate passes as well.
Joseph Barton,
some lovely football.
BSC,
Joseph
or BA.
It does just go to show you that having a squad of 100 top flight quality players does really make for a difference in the Championship.
Yeah. Oh, you big meanie. Leicester beat Barnsley 2-0. A brace from the Nuge keeps Leicester 3 points off the top.
Good stuff.
In the feisty one, Millwall beat Leeds 2-0. It's a good win for the Lions, and they needed
it. Is Millwall?
They needed that.
Is Steve Lomas winning over the Millwall faithful? That's what I want.
Well, a win against a side who they've clashed within the past, so to speak.
Doesn't that just count as any side?
I think they've got a particularly big bit of beef with Leeds. A big bit of top side.
Big bit of turf.
Great performance for Sam Vaux for Burnley as well. Two really, really good goals.
Mm.
Glorious volley.
Glorious.
Also, going back to the Forest Derby game, the penalty save by the Derby goalkeeper. Mm. It was one of the best penalty saves I've ever seen.
It was
absolutely
really
brilliant.
Really
it was a perfect penalty right in the bottom right corner, but he got such a big hand on it. He made a really good save later in the game as well.
It was a perfect penalty, Jim, but it was met by the perfect save.
Damn right.
But Burnley, you're right, Pete. Burnley are going really well. Up in second, aren't they?
Yeah. We'll beat Charlton 3-0.
Typical championship, though. It's like 9 points separating 16th and second.
Yeah.
It's another exciting season.
It's all going off. In League One, Leighton Orient, they dropped points for the first time this season. The Mighty
Slade
O's.
Slade out.
25 points from possible 27.
Wow, they were 1-0 up and a man up in that game and they drew 1-0. Not good enough.
Yeah, it's quite weird. They've been going so well. Slade used to be a school teacher, I think.
Did he?
I think so, yeah. Mm. Well done, him. And Peterborough and Wolves both on 22 points, one at the weekend. So League One's looking pretty exciting at the top. Mm. A little nod to the conference as well, an Edgar Davids and Barnett update.
We only mentioned the conference when Edgar Davids is playing in it.
Yeah. Let's call it what it is. It's an Edgar Davids update.
Well, no, because
let's
I
have
was,
a little nod to Edgar Davids.
Because I was going to say Cambridge United are top by 5 points and they're leading the way quite handsomely. So well done, Cambridge.
Mm. But I guess
and
maybe
it is,
not.
And it is a beautiful city as well.
Do you fear for Hyde FC this season, Mark?
Oh my goodness, I always fear for them.
Six points adrift.
They keep getting a good hiding, Luke.
They do. Yeah.
But anyway, back to Barnett. That's what we're here for. They're on 19
<You're>
points.
Barnett.
19 points after 12 matches in the conference. They're 2 points off the playoffs. So, not terrible, not too bad. David's made his first appearance this season at the weekend. He's wearing the number one on his back.
Unbelievable. It's not the worst thing about it, though, is
no,
it?
No, it isn't, because apparently he makes his players call him Mr. on the pitch.
So is that just Mr. or presumably Mr. Davids?
No, I don't think that's that bad, and I know why he does it.
Go on.
Because he's spent a lot of his time in Italy, where all the coaches are known as Mr. Mm. It's like Gaffer. So he's probably grown up calling his managers Mr. when he was in Italy, possibly in Holland
as
well.
Yeah, but he should tap into the local culture.
But I'm just saying it's not as outrageously big.
No, but if those players are embarrassed by that, which I imagine they probably are, then that is a negative thing, isn't it?
But wasn't that the opposition player that noted that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But still,
they're all happening, though.
What I like about that is that's not even the most embarrassing thing. He's not even on the payroll. He's not even getting paid, obviously, because they got relegated and he agreed to not be on the payroll. And he's still got the number one shirt and he's still getting called Mr.
That's all he cares about.
And he won't go to, like, matches above a certain part of the country. He wouldn't travel to Gateshead. He was at the Playboy Mansion instead of attending a couple of the football matches.
Again, I don't have any problem with any of this.
He won't travel north.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he got to Nuneaton on it during a match.
His contract.
East Midlands, that's as far as he...
In his contract.
Cross or bust.
In his contract, there's a map of the United Kingdom. There's a line across it.
A radius of
Well, maybe
Davids.
Maybe he's just going to try and get them relegated to the Ryman Southern
Conference,
League.
Conference South.
Sorry, yeah.
But
I'm thinking in old money.
Like, where's your manager? Up at Gateshead. Oh, he's at the Playboy Mansion.
Yeah. Oh, fair
didn't
enough.
Fancy it. Outrageous.
Yeah. Indeed. But we're going to travel north to Scotland very briefly. Inverness Cali, they're still top of the league. Still top of the league. There was a game at Fir Park on the weekend, obviously, Motherwell and Ross County. Some people thought it shouldn't have gone ahead.
One person.
In particular, Jim. Tam Cowan. Let me just read you the headline of this article. Fir Park should have been torched after it hosted women's football.
Do it in his accent.
Tam Cowan is a writer for the Daily Record, if you've not heard of him.
Was.
He has literally lost his job.
If I had my way, today's Premiership fixture between Motherwell and Ross County would have been cancelled. The Fir Park should have been torched on Thursday in order to cleanse the stadium after it played host to women's football.
Well, I'd only need to add an E to the end of the name of it, I suppose.
Fire Park.
Like what you've done there. Yeah.
Well,
you're
done,
not
Pete.
Really listening to what I'm saying,
no.
Peter.
Yeah, I really am.
With your silly. Pieces of the article state, admittedly, I've not seen a lot of women's football, just a few little snatches.
Little joke there.
Yeah.
Little joke. Cam.
The whole thing is just a wave of misogynistic dad jokes.
It's horrendous.
I never get tired of like men in positions of power just spouting medieval hogwash and basically sort of saying, "I'm just telling it like it is."
Yeah. But he's also said that he's also said that he was joking and it's not to be taken seriously. It's like we can see that. Yeah. It's still terrible. You don't know what irony is if this is how you think it's supposed to be used.
And the weekend, Liverpool win the league, and there's fairly major like women's competitions happening all around the world, and he's going,
and it's growing really rapidly as well. However much you might hate the goalkeepers, Pete.
Yeah. Just the other week, I bumped into a couple of women footballers, in brackets, I've still got the bruises to prove it, and they were honestly two of the nicest blokes I've ever met.
Yeah, it's what just, poor,
just, just stop writing out, Marcus. There's loads more. We all know.
No, I want everybody to get in the hate campaign. this is, you know,
it sounds like they have, according to his grovelling apology that wasn't really an apology.
Well, yeah, he's been taken off the air because he's a radio
dinosaur.
Was a, yeah. You can't have dinosaurs on radio.
No.
Literally and
famously extinct.
Yeah,
they wouldn't understand broadcasting.
Absolutely shocking. So yeah, I just wanted to make people aware of what a knob that man is. So let's get out of Scotland and go to Spain, where we go to La Liga. And Real Madrid, they lost 1-0 at home to Atletico Madrid.
Yeah,
Diego again, Costa. Technically speaking, because the cup was played at the Bernabeu. Atletico having a wonderful time.
Atletico were good value for that win.
They were.
Well.
Yeah.
The last time I think Real Madrid lost, I think John Toshak was in one of the dugouts. Oh, there you go.
Well, in the Madrid derby in the league, yeah. Wow, Bale couldn't make a difference.
Diego Costa was actually led the line really well, didn't he?
I like Diego Costa. He's a sneaky sod. He's just got like all those tricky, sneaky little things about his game. It's entertaining.
Should he play up front for Brazil, do you think? Because he never gets that much of a mention around the national side. I mean, the Confed Cup, I can't really remember, but I remember Fred getting a start and so on. I mean, surely he must be in the running.
Perhaps.
You think so after that performance?
Is he killing enough lions, though? Fred said he'd kill a lion every day to be in the Brazil squad.
Exactly, he's not showing that sort of commitment, has he? But Diego Costa still got a lot of his sort of football in front of him. He's only 24, so yeah. I mean, he could eventually.
He won't mind missing the World Cup in Brazil. Is
what you're saying? Yeah, don't worry about it. I'm only 24.
I've got loads of World Cup. Yeah.
I'm sure there'll be another one in Brazil during my career.
One thing I would say about Costa, though, is that he's not really massively prolific. And so if you want someone, I mean, Brazil aren't exactly short of players who can create chances and do all those sort of bits and pieces. And maybe they feel Fred is just much better at finishing those sort of chances off and stuff. You know?
Yeah.
His Costa, he doesn't score that many goals. I mean, he was great against Real Madrid, but he's not prolific.
That is true. Elsewhere in Spain, Barcelona beat Almeria 2-0, setting a club record, seventh straight win at the start of the season.
I feel like that shouldn't have been a record.
No.
Seven wins in a row is not that many for that Barcelona.
No, it's from the start of the season, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like Norrin have done it.
Yeah, they have.
Parameters. Yeah.
They're just making these records up now.
Yeah.
You can't be bothered to check that they're even records. There's too many.
Fine.
But it looks like Messi won't play against Celtic during
the big one.
Hooray!
They need to avenge their last yeah, game there.
That's it. They need to cleanse Celtic Park. I don't know. And it's a quick mention of the Bundesliga, I think. There's only 1 point separates the top three in Germany, with Dortmund and Bayern on 19, Leverkusen on 18.
I've got a Bundesliga fact bomb for you.
Yeah, please.
I think it's a fact, anyway.
That's good.
There's not been a single 0-0 in the Bundesliga this season yet.
Wow. A lovely old job. Well, with Sydney Sam on target again.
Yeah.
There's not going to be one, eh? Bayer Leverkusen too.
If Sydney Sam could play in every game at the same time in the league every week, there would never be 0-0.
No. What a giddy aunt. No. What a wonderful thought. Bundesliga's going well. The three Bs are flying high.
And Lewandowski scoring.
A pair of beauties.
But he's going to be going to Bayern.
Yeah.
Well, I've got bad news for Bayern. According to goal.com, club loyalty 5.0. They give them scores for like different stats and stuff that they've just made up, pulled out their arse.
Okay.
Creativity 6 out of 10. Diving 4 out of 10. Fear factor only 4.5, guys. So
fear
probably don't bother buying.
I'd probably just, you know, check the small print in the contract. You do not want to play with 4.5 fear factor.
Well, can you give an example of who goal.com would give a 10 out of 10 for fear factor?
I have no idea.
Medel?
No
Gary
idea.
Medel, maybe, yeah. But Leverkusen with Sidney Sam at the vanguard are actually keeping up with Munich and Dortmund. They're like 1 point off the top or something. So
that's right.
Killer instinct,
they can,
6.
They can hang around.
That's right.
Durability.
To finish off.
Who's that for?
Durability. He's got a 5.5 for
Is
durability.
Is Lewandowski still?
Yeah.
To finish
you know,
off,
Gabby Logan's a non-executive director of a company that owns goal.com.
Is so there right? you go.
Blame Gabby.
I've been on goal.com today, everyone.
Right. Finished?
Yeah.
To finish off the main part of the show, we're going to talk about Kevin Walker, the Swedish footballing pop idol sensation. Get yourselves over to the Ramble in the latest section, because you'll find the video of him singing on Pop Idol magnificently. He plays for GIF Sundsvall in the Swedish second division, does a bit of singing on the side, and he appeared on Sweden's version of X Factor. Magnificent voice.
Beautiful voice.
He's also Irish Swedish, isn't he? That's why he's called Kevin Walker.
Yeah,
it's not a very Swedish name, is it?
He looks Swedish.
Yeah, he does.
Very, very handsome.
He is a handsome fella, yeah.
But this is quite funny. Their version of X Factor, I think it's called Idol, is on TV4, which is obviously a Swedish TV company. And they own the rights to the second division Swedish games. So when there was a match that Walker was going to be playing in, but of course the X Factor thing was going to happen, there was a bit of a conflict of interest. What ended up happening was the TV company asked the head honchos in the league to postpone the game so Kevin Walker could go on the telly and sing. And it happened.
Wow.
Wow.
And this
is
a player who's actually won the Allsvenskan with Icor, hasn't he? He was playing for AOK with Kenny Page.
Well, I wondered that.
Yeah, he's only still quite young, but he's definitely got a league winner's medal. The club he plays for now are in the second tier, I think, but he's definitely played at the top level. So this is like the equivalent of, if you can think of a Premier League player who's won the league and then gone into the Championship.
Sean Wright Phillips.
There you go. He's like, he's the Sean Wright Phillips. So basically,
Sean Wright Phillips was on
X Factor or something. Yeah, there you go. So what's going to happen if he goes all the way through and has to do a tour and everything like that?
Well, they wait and see.
Yeah.
Wait and see.
Well, his quote was like, I play football during the week and I sing during the weekends. It's like, he said, how does that work? he said, I'm like Bruce Wayne. I was like, I don't play football on the weekends.
Let it happen, Pete.
Let it happen.
Now it's time for Pete's game.
It is time for Pete's game. Let's get on it. This game comes from Simon Lewis, Through the Neil's Laid Home.
Yeah, okay. I'm on a hat-trick on this, so it's big one for me, this.
Yeah, right, well, thank you, Simon Lewis, for these clues.
Does that mean, like, if we get the answer, we whisper it to you, like a penalty sort of scenario?
Hat-trick! Yeah, I'm on a hat-trick. No, don't do that. I'll get it anyway.
Okay.
I was born on the 24th of March, 1963, in Oldenzaal in the Netherlands.
Stop. Winston Bohada.
No.
Stop. Frank de Boer.
No.
Jim?
Frank de Boer.
Stop Ronald de Boer.
No.
Yeah, I was pleased you said that.
I have two Premier League winners' medals, an FA Cup winners' medal, and a Champions League winners' medal.
Stop. Mark Overmars.
No, and an Air... How do you say the Dutch division?
Eredivisie,
yeah. Winners' medal as well.
Wow, okay. And he's now 50. He's born 63. Okay.
I made my Premier League debut against Aston Villa in 1996.
Stop. Is it Dennis Bergkamp?
No.
Yeah, he's not that old.
No, of course he isn't.
I later joined West Ham United but made no
Stop.
Appearances.
Is it?
It's hat-trick.
Marco Bugas?
No.
Oh,
Marco Bugas did not win the Premier League.
I'd love it if he did.
Brian Penis?
No.
He's Dutch.
Wrong with you.
He's
wrong
Dutch.
With you. He's Dutch, oh, everyone. I retired...
Make sure we do in 1 week.
I retired from football age 44 for AGOVV, who I believe are in Holland, scoring my only career goal in the process.
All right.
Stop. It's not Yap Stam.
No.
It? Again, he's not that old, 50. Is he?
And he scored a goal.
Could be 50.
Stop. Clive Mendonca.
No. I was part of Roy Keane's setup at Sunderland.
Oh, shiver me timbers. Stop.
What?
No, I was going to say Van Bronckhorst, but of course not.
I'm now at Vitesse in my home nation as a goalkeeping coach, including a spell under Albert.
Oh, stop. Ed De Hoy.
It is, isn't it? He's got the hat-trick.
Oh!
No.
Damn.
Whilst I couldn't displace Peter Schmeichel, I did manage to keep Mark Bosnich, Massimo Taibbi and Andy Gorham.
Oh, stop! Running around the hell! I had that!
That's me!
No!
I really can't.
No, I can't tell either.
I can't tell that one.
The listeners are going to have to get back to us on that one, because I'm not listening to it again.
I'm not sure. Wow, that was excellent.
Can we have a podcast finish? Technology?
Simon Lewis.
I can't believe I never got that earlier.
Hey, what does your watch say? Does it say Luke or Mark?
It's one of those gaming watches. It's like,
Email in.
Yeah, let us know.
Speaking of which, have we got any correspondence, quick?
You got any emails or anything?
Jim, well, you've got one in front of you.
Read it, Jim, silly fox.
Okay, thanks. I need help deciphering a dream. Last night I had a dream where Joe Kinnear was singing Ronnie James Dio's Holy Diver in the centre circle during halftime at Stamford Bridge. He did the whole thing, then I woke up. I've been distressed ever since. Help, Richard Williams.
Richard
so
Williams.
If anyone's got any advice.
That's not the Guardian writer, Richard Williams, is it?
Probably.
Yeah.
From his photo, he looks like sleep deprived.
Richard, if that is you from the Guardian, the Guardian do a podcast as well. It's not as good. Yeah. It might be more up
did
your
you
street.
Did you mean to press send, Richard?
Maybe he dream wrote it.
Yeah, he could have done. Could have still been asleep.
A dream within a dream. Yeah. Meta.
Yeah.
Do you think any other sort of broadcasting sort of media get that sort of email?
I've no idea.
I don't think they do.
I hope not. I hope not.
Shall I do the Twitter and Facebook question?
Go on, Oldsport. Yeah.
All right, then. The question this week was, what do you think AVB and Jose Mourinho discussed after the Spurs-Chelsea game at the weekend?
Probably wine.
Wow. That could be your answer in a minute if you want. The continuing absence of the Dean Windass Hall of Fame must have gone on at some point. That's from Alex Turner. I don't think it's the Alex Turner.
Oh, right. Okay.
But if it is, good. Excellent.
Why'd you get rid of the Dean Windass Hall of Fame?
Is that your impression?
That's what he sings now.
Mardy yeah.
Why'd you only come when you're
let Luke finish.
That sounds like Cartman from South Park. Seriously, Ben Aspo says, they were talking about getting the old band back together. Smertin, Kesman, Veron, Del Horno. Yeah, I like that.
Del Horno.
Now, if you didn't know this just from the tweet, his name is Gooner John.
Gooner John.
They were talking about themselves, to themselves, in their mirrors, separately, naked, whilst taking photos of themselves.
Strong.
Bit snidey. Robert Dinsey on the Facebook suggests they probably discussed how lucky they are to have their jobs when Big Sam can win the double with both those sides every season, no problem.
Yeah, managing both clubs.
Mike Franklin says, whatever it is, it was post-coital. The sexual tension between those two is palpable. Mm. Like Alan Bates and Ollie Reid in Women in Love. And Graham Ford on the Twitter finishes up by saying, probably discussed with Hernando's as a genuine and fair representation of Portuguese cuisine.
Yeah.
I don't think it is.
I would hope it is. It's magnificent.
It's nice.
And I'm not
it's
just not. Saying that because I really want a Nando's black card if anyone's listening. I'm sure we'd all love one.
I don't think they dish them out anymore, mate.
No.
I think they've stopped now.
Literally, David Beckham and upwards. They're the ones who get them.
What are you saying?
I'm saying you're not David Beckham, Jim.
No, it's fair enough.
I reckon they were discussing football. That's the end of the show, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to get in touch, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com and the Twitter is @footballramble, and of course the website is thefootballramble.com. Jim?
Yeah, I've got some announcements. Interestingly enough, I've got an announcement concerning the Dean Windass Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah!
For all the people on the Facebook group that have been saying they want it to come back. And, well, the announcement is it's still not coming back.
Jim.
So there you go, another announcement.
It's rude.
I'm not sure if Sean Wright Phillips did win the Premier League. And don't tweet me if he didn't. It's fine. I might have made a mistake.
Can I counter that by saying, if he didn't, please do tweet him.
Okay.
Don't tweet him more, if any.
This
has backfired. Yes.
<Send him in>.
leave us all alone.
Tweet me if you want, because I like the attention.
Yeah, he loves it. Actually, tweet Luke. Me. He prefers it. Yeah. So, last one. If you want to come see my show, the one I did in Edinburgh, in London, it's on at the 8th and 9th of October at the Pleasance in Islington. So go to pleasance.co.uk if you want to see my show. It's £7. But if you also want to see Jay Foreman's brilliant show, No More Colours, that's £10 of both tickets. So come along.
I enjoyed Jim's show when I was in Edinburgh.
Yeah.
I saw it in Jim's Potter cabin / venue.
I didn't go.
No, I protested as well, Luke, at the content of it.
We were like when Jerry Springer the Opera happened.
Absolute Radio is, of course, providing studios for the Football Ramble this season, and they are going to be broadcasting Cardiff versus Newcastle in the Barclays Premier League on Rock and Roll Football from 3 o'clock. That's a lovely hand gesture you're doing, Luke Miller.
No, you're welcome, free of charge.
That's enough. Say goodbye, Pete.
Bye-bye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Bye.
Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Goodbye from me, dears.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.